Our next presentation, Brittany Lipsey, Application Strategies to Improve Control of Tarnished Plant Bugs in the Mississippi Delta.
All right, thank you for that introduction. My name is Brittany Lipsey. I am a master's graduate student under the direction of Dr. Angus Ketchot and Dr. Jeff Gore. And I'm going to talk to you today about some how to improve control for tarnished plant bugs. All right, so these first graphs, I just want you to take away a few little points, and then I'll explain later. We've decreased in acreage on how much cotton we plant, and as we've decreased, we've had to apply more more times. Now, the point I want you to take away is that as our cotton acres have decreased, the price per acre has increased. On this one, so these are some of the chemicals that are used for tarnished plant bugs. And as you can see, the top 35% is on intruder control, and then 64%. So we're not getting good control. You want around between 90 and 80% control, and we're not getting that right now. So some of the things I'm going to talk about are going to be using different varieties and maturing dates, planting date, nitrogen rates, blocking cotton away from corn, and diamond applications, tank mixtures, and shortened intervals or sequential applications. Now, Ty Smith talked about this earlier. We're going to have some overlapping slides, but I'm incorporating that into a program, whereas he kind of explained that better than I will. So he had this slide up here, and it's just showing we took a count out, and actually Jeff Gore did this. He took a count. He had 23 plant bugs, nymphs, on the pretest right here, and then he sprayed 4 days later with orthene and dropped it to 8 plant bugs. So then he came back with the sequential application at 4, 5, 6, and 7 days, and you can see on the 4 and 5 days we had 100% control. So as you get further away with those applications, your control drops down. So the tighter we can get them, or the closer we can get them, the better off on that. This graph, it's a little busy at the bottom, but all I really want you to see is the blue is going to be we sprayed, and then 4 days after that we sprayed again. And you can see the percentages after we did that second spray went up to 80% control, even with chemicals that didn't really work good with one spray. So the objective was to combine the best management practices to determine if we can reduce the reliance on chemical insecticides to manage tarnished plant bugs. So we had 2 field sites. It was conducted in Stoneville, Mississippi, 4-row plots, 75-foot plots on 40-inch beds, seed rate of 4 seeds per foot with the 2 treatments. I'm going to call them the IPM treatment and then the standard treatment. So in the IPM treatment, we had a hairy leaf variety, and then in the standard one, we used the smooth leaf variety. Wilkes Wood showed in his research that the hairy leaf variety had a little bit more resistance to tarnished plant bugs naturally than the smooth leaf variety did. So we put that into our IPM. So on nitrogen, Chase Samples did this research. He was trying to show that 80 pounds of nitrogen, you didn't lose any yield if you, instead of putting 120 like normal, you didn't lose any yield by doing 80%, but it made the plant bug sprays the 3. So on this graph in the center, we got 3. We actually, when you put more, you had to spray more, but you weren't losing any pounds by going less. So in the IPM, we did 80 pounds of nitrogen, and in the standard, we did 120 pounds of nitrogen. The diamond application, so we've gotten to where we do an automatic diamond application at a third week of squaring, and on this side where we had no diamond, we were getting 957 pounds of lint per acre. Well, if you look on the last column over there, the third week of squaring, we put that automatic diamond application out, and we increased the pounds of lint per acre, about 300 pounds. So in the smooth, the standard, we left it with no diamond, and then in the IPM, we did that automatic diamond spray. So on planting date, up there it should say early maturing variety and late maturing variety, but this just shows the April planting date, the mid-April, we had three applications, and then when you got over into late May, we were having to make six applications. So planting early will definitely help. So on the IPM, we were recommending like a May 5th planting date, and the standard, we used the May 27th date. So here's an overall. The IPM, we had the hairy leaf variety. We had 80 pounds of nitrogen. We used the diamond application and the first of May planting date. And in the standard one, we used the smooth leaf variety, 120 pounds of nitrogen, no diamond, and then just around the end of May planting date. So on data collection, we did a weekly sampling. The first 2 weeks of squaring, we did 100 sweeps for treatment, and we checked square retention. The third week of squaring through bloom, we did 8 drops per treatment. And then we took some yield and economic data as well. So this field, we called it Creek, and this is going to be the square retention. On the bottom, this is not weeks. So the first and second one down here is going to be for the first week. Then the third and fourth is going to be for the second week. And five and six is going to be for week three. You can see we had 100% on the first one. And then using the IPM strategy, we had a lot better square retention than we did if we used the standard. And this was in this is field north square retention. At the first one, we had on the IPM, there was 100% square retention. And yet again, you can see that the IPM did have a better square retention overall. All right, so this is comparing the square retention for the IPM early versus the standard late. And I'm not going to look at the first two graphs, the first two columns. The second one is the third one. So those averaged together. So you can see we had over 80% square retention using the IPM. All right, so on this one, this is the early IPM versus the late standard. This is showing the number of tarnished plant bugs per 12 feet. The bottom is that dotted line is going to be your threshold. And you can see we had more tarnished plant bugs in the early IPM. So the yield on those two fields, this is that averaged together. On the Creek field down here, we used four applications, and then on the standard we had the six applications, but the change in pounds of lint per acre on the Creek field went up $460, and on the North field was $398. Net returns on the IPM. We had $715, and then on the standard, on the Creek, we had $496. So that was a change in net returns of $336. In the North, we had the increase of $269. So, in conclusion, on average, implementing this IPM results in significantly higher square retention and reduce some of the insecticide applications for tarnished plant bugs, as well as in net returns, increase in net returns by $300 on the early planting. So as a scenario, if 50% of farmers in Mississippi use this IPM, on average that would reduce the use of 150,000 pounds of acephate. It would increase by 67 million pounds of lint, and it would increase the revenue by $45 million. With that, I'll take any questions.
So with supplies of cotton, cover around 60 cents, do you think your producers can relax the threshold a little bit and maybe take a little bit more square loss? Just kind of put that in 7 square or 2?
They could if they wanted to.
Do you think they could justify doing that?
Really don't know how to answer that question. I mean, if they want to take a, it's going to decrease it. If they want maximum yields, that's what I would do, was use this. But if they want to take a little bit of a loss, they can justify if they want to. Any other questions?
Do you have plenty of time for questions? If not, let's thank our speaker.